Well, I remember many years ago, I was among a group of students sitting on someone's living room floor in a teaching session with one of the spiritual teachers who shaped my life profoundly as a young adult. And I don't really remember the larger topic that was being discussed that hour, but I do remember one thing that the teacher said to us with particularly direct, pointed intensity and seriousness. He said, "Never close your heart. Never close your heart against another person or situation." And it's funny to me how the whole conversation around that one statement has faded into the misty background of my mind, but those words struck me like a bell, ringing through my mind and heart and body and impressing my memory indelibly, becoming a core maxim for my life, a core practice for my life. Never close your heart. Never close your heart against another person or situation, no matter how painful or difficult. This period of the Jewish High Holy Days, if we choose to open ourselves to the tradition and take the work upon ourselves, this period of the High Holy Days is the time in which we're prompted to honestly examine and take responsibility for our actions and words, our thoughts and feelings, and to recognize our shortcomings, our errors, and failures of the past year. And we're called upon to both ask for and to offer forgiveness. And by this work, we return to a rightness in our relationships with ourselves, our relationship with ourselves, our relationship with our companions in life, and our relationship with the power of life itself, which some call God. By this work, we take responsibility for our part in restoring harmony to life. We do our part to mend the fabric of interconnection that has been rent. So it's easy to see how when we're asking for forgiveness, we're taking responsibility for something we may have done or may have not done. But when we're being asked for forgiveness, or when we're offering forgiveness, this is also an act of taking responsibility, because it shows us that we have a power. We have a power that we can use to bring healing or not bring healing to a situation. And so we're responsible in our forgiving as well as our asking for forgiveness. But why did my teacher insist with such seriousness that we must never close our heart? Well, maybe you can think of a time when your heart was closed. I mean, I can certainly think of those times. There's a heaviness in the body that we carry around. The hardening of the heart brings a kind of frozenness or a stasis in one's tenderest inner being. And it closes out not only the pain we're trying to steel ourselves against, but to the same measure, it closes out the flow of potential growth, the possibility of change. It closes out the divine breath that constantly coaxes us toward awakening, the movement of life and breath that heals and redeems what is broken. It shuts that down. So closing the heart hardens us against what we most deeply need and long for. And while it seems like a defense against something injurious, it actually becomes a self-inflicted injury that at a spiritual level is even more insidious and more damaging than the one that we fear. Now, keeping the heart open doesn't necessarily mean or always mean that we rush out and actively try to make amends, because there are times when that simply is not possible. But it does mean allowing oneself or one's heart to be receptive and to be permeable, allowing the breath of life, the ruach, or spirit of God, to flow through one's hurting heart and through one's conflicted thoughts and feelings on the matter at hand. Solomon Burke's his poignant song, "Don't give up on me." It expresses the hope of the open heart. It expresses the hope for an open heart. This plea to the heart of another, just to trust, just enough, so as not to shut down or close out the possibility of things turning around. I know it's late in the game, but my feelings haven't changed. Here in my heart, I know I was wrong, and I want to make amends for the love that I haven't shown. So here's a guy who is touching into the depths of awareness of the ways in which he's broken or damaged his relationships, as much by what he hasn't done as what he has. By his failures to live out who he knows he can be, his inability to make his love known. And he's really struggling with that. Although his song seems to be for a lover, I heard a recording of a live performance of this song in which he dedicates the song to the generation of young people who are in the audience. And he preaches to them, "No matter what the situation may be in life, no matter how negative it may seem, it's up to you to make it positive. To remember that the glass is always half full and not half empty. You are the future," he says. "You are the new leaders. You are what's going to make this world peaceful and full of love. And so I'm holding on to you. I'm holding out for you." And then he starts singing, "If I fall short, if I don't make the grade, if your expectations aren't met in me today, there's always tomorrow or tomorrow night, so hang in there. Sooner or later, I'll get it right. Don't give up on me." Keeping the heart open means not giving up on ourselves, never giving up on ourselves, and never giving up on each other. Allowing that there is sometimes a mysterious process by which we and others heal and grow toward our better and truer selves. Avi sang for us the prayer, "Hayom Harat Alam." And the opening line, as he shared with us, actually, I have to admit, I have, according to Avi, not the correct translation, but it's traditionally translated, "Today is the birthday of the world," or "Today the world is born," or "The cosmos is born," or even "Today the world is pregnant." Maybe you could say, "Today eternity is pregnant with possibility." I'm getting a nod. "Today is pregnant, the cosmos is pregnant with possibility." And in Jewish tradition, this takes us back to the story of the origin of creation, the first lines of the book of Genesis, how the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So this captures that feeling of the pregnant void, the cosmos waiting in pure potentiality. So it's very significant that during this time of Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, when we're seeking to heal and renew the bonds of love and connection that have been damaged, that we have to bring ourselves ritually and spiritually back to this moment of origin. We have to place ourselves in that awareness, that experience of the cosmos being pregnant with possibility, of things completely original, having the possibility of being born. We want to connect to this holy state of infinite potential. We want to feel and remember Ruach, the spirit, the breath, the divine breath, hovering over the waters of chaos, because this is the latent power of creation and transformation. And then in the Genesis story, God says, "Let there be light." And light comes into being. And this story tells us of the power of our words to bring new possibilities into existence. the power of the word, which I would also imagine, I don't know if this is true of the actual Hebrew text itself, but I think of the word as also the mind as a creative force. So when we examine ourselves and our actions, we must recognize the power of our words, those that we speak to others, those that we speak to ourselves, and how they give shape to what happens, both good and ill. How our words and our thought create the cosmos that we live in. Keeping the heart open means opening ourselves to the always present potential of something completely new occurring. And it means recognizing the power of our words to shape things. Now, in the way that synchronicities often happen in this mysterious path of spiritual work, I happened to hear a poem read aloud at a minister's gathering just a week ago as I was contemplating the themes of this morning's service. The poem is called Buddha's Dogs by Susan Brown. And it tells about her internal process over several days of a silent meditation retreat. And here's the excerpt that connected particularly with the thoughts I was having about this morning and that I've just shared with you. At the moment that I'm picking up the poem, she's sitting on a bench in the retreat center courtyard eating a sandwich. Sun, then cloud, then sun. I notice a maple leaf on my sandwich. It seems awfully large. Slowly brushing it away, I feel so sad I can hardly stand it. So I name my thoughts. They are sadness about my mother, judgment about my father, wanting the child I never had. I notice I've been chasing the same thoughts like dogs around the same park most of my life. I notice the leaf tumbling gold into the grass. The gong sounds, and back in the hall. I decide to try lying down meditation and let myself sleep. The Buddha in my dream is me, surrounded by those dogs wagging their tails, licking my hands. I wake up for the forgiveness meditation. The teacher is saying, never put anyone out of your heart. And the heart opens and knows that it won't last and will have to open again and again, chasing those dogs around and around in the sun, then cloud, then sun. I love the gentle, compassionate recognition of the heart opens and knows it won't last and will have to open again and again. So just as my teacher said to his students and just as her teacher says, never close your heart, never put anyone out of your heart, the poet reminds us that everything is a process and reminds us of the necessity of practice, of just clearly observing the clouds of thought coming and going, the tides of feeling rising and falling, the sky shining and then overcast and then shining, the heart as it breathes open upon remembering and then sometimes closes again in forgetfulness and then is breathed open again. So perhaps the word never is not helpful. Maybe a better way to say it is, remember to keep breathing your heart open. Remember to keep breathing your heart open. Those of us who are intentionally walking a spiritual path are asked, are called, to gently and continually work on clearing the heart of its crustiness, its accumulated attachments, its debris of guilt and grudge, so that the heart becomes available to the fluid power of breath, ruach, of spirit, which is always bringing the possibility of healing. And we can also remember, we can also discover perhaps particularly in the silence of prayer or inner listening. That in some sense, every moment is the birthday of the world. At every moment, the cosmos is pregnant with possibility. Every single moment, something entirely new can be born. May it be so for all of us.